morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, we're talking Packers OTAs, and we're getting ready for Packers minicamp. Starts tomorrow, Tuesday, in Green Bay. To talk all sorts of matters Packers, we have a guest joining us to kick off the show this morning. We have Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tyler, how you doing this morning?
Doing good. How's everything been on your end?
Very good. We're glad to have you on the show. You've been busy covering Packers OTAs, the off-season program. And Tyler, you've recently written a few articles that have gained my interest and I think the interest of a lot of Packers fans I wanted to pick your brain about. Last week, you wrote an article on Packers doing yoga, a feature on Ryan Cunningham of Flow Yoga Studios in De Pere, Wisconsin. And the question I have right off the bat, is this going to reduce hamstring injuries in Green Bay?
I tell you what, they really think so. Cunningham thinks so, and the players that I've talked to really think so. That, you know, I thought that her analogy was really good. She said that basically your body, your muscles, it's like a bow and arrow. And she said that in working with these players in massage for a while, that she saw a lot of those bows kind of pulled back halfway. They just were not very flexible. It was kind of a team-wide issue. So it really started last offseason through Tremont Williams when players started going. And it can be sporadic at times. You know, Williams and Bush are probably the regulars. But according to her, the ones that saw her regularly, the ones that were in there regularly with her doing yoga, didn't have any muscular injuries at all. And there were players who had hamstring injuries come to her, and when they kept coming to her, didn't have the reoccurrence. The ones that left and did not return, and she didn't want to give out names, she said those players, they did have their hamstring injuries flare up. So I think that this can definitely help, and that the players are realized men inside the Packers locker room.
Now, you said she isn't, you know, naming names. She's, you know, kind of keeping it confidential. Are you still there, Tyler? I think we lost Tyler Dunn. Hang on, let me get him back on the line. I'm not sure what happened there. I'm glad he finished his last train of thought.
Hello.
Are you there, Tyler?
Yes, I lost you there.
Okay, no big deal. We'll just continue on here. But I was curious, you know, you said the yoga instructor, what, you know, she was keeping things confidential among her client base. She wasn't naming names. I've had a few people tell me, though, on social media, if there's one player who maybe should be doing this yoga, it's linebacker Clay Matthews, who's dealt with hamstring injuries each, basically every season since he's entered the league to one extent or another. Is there any indication Clay Matthews works with Cunningham or any other yoga instructor?
Yeah, exactly. That's the player who should be in there, right? I mean, he's the one that they gave that big contract to, who keeps having the hamstring injuries flare up. It happened again early last year before the thumb. You know, his name never really did pop up in our discussions, and the players I've talked to never brought up his name either. I just don't think that, you know, he's there regularly for sure, and I'm not sure if he's there much at all. You know, a lot of these players, they have other resources. I mean, the team has resources, and you know, Aaron Rodgers, he mentioned yoga, but it's not through Cunningham. So, you know, I'm sure that there's other people out there that they can go to. But something about her works, and there's a reason that about 15 different players are going to her now. So, yeah, I think that if there was somebody who probably maybe should give this a shot, it would be Clay Matthews. I just haven't heard his name pop up.
I'm just curious now, from what I understand, this yoga instructor is not affiliated with the Packers at all. Is this coming out of their own pocket? Are players reimbursed for yoga sessions? Do you have any clue on how that works?
Yeah, you're right. She's not affiliated with the team. She basically started, she opened the studio a year and a half ago and has been a practicing yoga instructor for, gosh, it's in the story, I think it was 12 years. She's been doing this a while and, yeah, not affiliated with the team. I think she just kind of saw that through her massage work with the players, which, and to be honest, I'm not sure exactly the player that was the impetus for the massage work. She's been doing massage with players on her own, not affiliated with the team, for about 4 or 5 years. Through that is when she saw the tightness. And then Tremont Williams, Jared Bush, it just kind of got rolling. The ball started rolling with players seeing her for yoga. And I know that she does all kinds of different sessions with the public. She does yoga for athlete classes, is what she calls it, where you just kind of work pose to pose and you're not necessarily doing the movement, which is called vinyasa, and she does that with the players as well. So she did all of this and just decided, hey, why don't I have free time at night, these players do, I'll just open up the studio for private sessions at night, and that's kind of what they do. And it's just kind of wild. You know, the Packers, they're conducting these injury studies. They can, you know, they can look at a million different things upside down. They can hire different people. They can change training camp practices. But what some players believe could be the answer is, as a 36-year-old yoga instructor in DePere, Wisconsin, that with no ties to the team.
Well, Packers fans certainly hope that's the case. We're talking to Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Tyler, you recently wrote another article, I think published for Sunday's newspaper, on the tight end position in Green Bay. And, it, you know, from what I read, the feeling I get is there's a feeling within the locker room that the Packers seem to be moving on from Jermichael Finley. Am I spot on in that assumption?
That's definitely the vibe I got as well. At least talking to Jake Stoneburner, Ryan Taylor, and a few others in there is, yes, Jermichael Finley's nameplate is up there. His locker is still open. He's a free agent. And I think as far as the Packers stand, you know, you just, the good thing to remember here, the one thing you do have to remember, Sean Richardson, 10.5 months. It took 10.5 months to clear him, and his fusion was further down the spine. So with Jermichael Finley, they're just going to wait. I mean, they're just going to take their time. Obviously, they met with him, the medical staff met with him and ran tests of some sort, but they're going to take their time here. Nothing's going to happen tomorrow. And right now in that locker room, those other tight ends, they have to move on. I don't think that you can just kind of sit around and wonder and wait and assume that anything is there, but and you saw their comments. They are moving on. They have to move on. And they're pretty confident that they have the players in-house to get it done. I thought Ryan Taylor's comments were pretty telling, where he said, look, we did well last year. We don't have the flash. We might have the receiving production, but we believe that we're just as good, if not better, in some areas.
I'm wondering, could this be a thing where the Packers give Jermichael Finley just about one more month to heal, put this injury behind him, and then maybe bring him in for one last medical check before the start of training camp? You know, it's certainly missing a mini camp in the off-season program wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Could they give him one last shot again, you think, before training camp?
I think that as long as he's out there and, you know, free agent and not signed with another team, that they'll always kind of be willing to check in on him, because there's no harm in it. I mean, Mike McCarthy said multiple times that the door is not shut, that they consider him a Green Bay Packer. And yeah, and sometimes those comments can kind of go viral, but there's really no harm in Mike McCarthy saying these things. There's a little truth to it. As long as he's not on another team, there's no harm in Green Bay just checking in on him and seeing where he's at. I just think that Jake Stoneburner kind of hit it on the head, where they had 7 tight ends at OTAs last year. They have 7 this year. They drafted 1 in the 3rd round. They take a chance on Colt Ireland that no other teams are willing to take. They re-sign Andrew Corliss. it might not be the best tight end group. There's a lot of unknowns, a ton of questions, but at least in terms of what the personnel has done, actions sometimes speak a little louder than words, and I think that Thompson's actions maybe speak louder than McCarthy saying he's still a Green Bay Packer right now.
Well, let's go through some of these other tight ends, and maybe we could do it a little rapid fire or whatever here if you want, but I mean, Packers have plenty of options. I know there hasn't been any pads. How does Colt Lyerla look? Does he look like he belongs?
Good question. You know, he does look like he belongs, and it's a tough position to gauge right now. You know, as McCarthy said, that these practices really cater towards the agile athlete, the players who work in space. And Lyerla has had his moments. He had the nice catch there. The first day he spoke to the media that everybody kind of heard about, a high one over the middle. He's had a few sits. He seems to move well in space. He's a big guy with some pretty good quickness. Just way too soon on him to draw conclusions.
Yeah. Brandon Bostic, he's kind of the one receiving flex tight end that's a veteran there in Green Bay. I know he's 6'3". He's not 6'6" like Finley. Can he realistically replace Finley's production?
And this is the player that the Packers would love to replace JerMichael Finley, right? I mean, this is the one they developed for going on to their third season. The wide receiver from Newberry College, who shares the same agent as Finley, was close to Finley, has really followed that tight end closely these past three years. Kind of a do-or-die training camp form. I think it was a good sign for Brandon Bostic that he was back at practice last week for the first time since he had his foot surgery, really. He didn't do a ton, so it's kind of hard to say exactly where he's at, but he was practicing. Somewhat surprising, like, he returned to the practice field before Andrew Corliss, who has an injury. We don't know what it is. Like, you know, they don't disclose injuries, and everybody's pretty tight-lipped. Terry Fano, the tight ends coach, didn't think if it was serious. But Corliss still out. Bostic is in. But we'll see if Corliss returns this week for minicamp.
Yeah, you mentioned Corliss here. I mean, do you think this is lingering from his knee, that you know, very severe knee injury in 2011? Is something kind of lingering here?
It could be. You know, when Fontenot was asked, and we talked to the coaches that first week of OTAs, he didn't sound concerned at all. It didn't seem like it was serious, whatever it is. Maybe it is just a measure of precaution after such a devastating knee injury, and they really just want to make sure he's good to go for training camp when they really need him. But that's the player that everybody in that tight end room really does view as the leader, the star. Yeah, they say it's wide open. Different players are working with the ones, and everybody could contribute at some point in training camp. But they do view Corliss as the starter in there, and it sounds like he still is the starter even though he's not out there.
Last guy here, Richard Rodgers, the third-round draft choice. He seems to be impressing with his hands during the offseason program here. Does he realistically stand a chance of contributing as a rookie?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's hard to ignore him out there. I know it's OTAs, but he seems to make one or two plays a day that just make you turn your head that you just don't see out of others. He had the one-handed catch that everybody kind of talked about the last practice, but I kind of turned my head in the last drill at practice. You know, they have defense at one end of the field, offense at the other. Everything is kind of moving slow. They're just going over plays. I believe it was Aaron Rodgers. He kind of wanted to see if Richard Rodgers was awake and slung a quick pass to him on a route. And then he just planted, outstretched one arm, almost dorsal flexed his whole body around and just plucked it with one hand. Just that natural pass-catching ability that you kept hearing about Richard Rodgers is showing up right now. The question is blocking. He hasn't blocked as a tight end since that first year at Cal. It's been a while. When the pads come on, they're going to want to see if this guy can work in line. So far, so good.
Just one prediction here from you, Tyler. Not that I'm going to hold you to it by any means, but yes or no, is Finley back with the Packers or not? Your take, your prediction.
My prediction, I mean, this is an educated guess more than anything. I don't think he's that. I think that if Jermichael Finley plays, that there's probably a medical staff out there more willing to take a chance on him than Green Bay. And I kind of, you know, take Stoneburner at what he said. I thought he put it best. It looks like they've kind of moved on with the seven tight ends at this point of camp. The players that they brought in, we'll see, you know, never say never. I mean, we could be sitting here in October or November and a couple of tight ends are down and Jermichael Finley's still out there and they run some more tests and they give him a chance. But right now, it does kind of seem like they're ready to move on with what they have.
It's interesting for sure to see what will happen with him. Tyler, thank you so much for joining this morning. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes here at Railbird Central. Always good to talk to you, and we'll do it again.
Absolutely. Always good to come on, Brian. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. See you soon. Take care. Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us here, talking some Packers football. He's covered the whole offseason program for the Green Bay Packers, and it continues this week, last week of the offseason program. Here we are on a Monday. Mini camp starts Tuesday for the Green Bay Packers. They have open practice sessions Tuesday and Thursday. If history is any indication, the Packers will hold their annual team building exercise that is closed to the public. But there's always, you know, media coverage of it every year that you see through social media or something like that, or the Packers website might post something on it. That's always kind of cool. You know, they go bowling, or they go, I think the past 2 years they've been clay pigeon shooting. Fun stuff that they do every year as a team, during mini camp, during June, when it, you know, that's, it's not quite, you know, we're not to training camp yet where the focus is all on football. They can have fun one last time here before, as I say, before the grind starts when training camp begins. So that all happens this week. Looking forward to it. I just saw on the Packers official Twitter feed that they mentioned something about the official team headshots being taken today, doing a little bit of media obligations before mini camp starts, taking their annual headshots, or, you know, things that they put in the program, and the pictures you can see of them online on the team's website, things like that. So that's what's happening today on a Monday. So looking forward to mini camp. Again, it's we, you know, I'm talking about with Tyler Dunn. We talked about Andrew Corliss. He's been out all of the Packers offseason program thus far. And if there's one thing I'm watching this week, and this is, you know, kind of the same thing that's been going on the whole offseason program, I probably mention this on a weekly basis, you know, what to look forward to this week at minicamp. I'm looking forward to any of the injured players, seeing if they're showing improvement, seeing if they're coming back. Andrew Corliss among them, but we've already talked about Andrew Corliss. Who are the guys who have been injured, who have been out, that haven't practiced yet? Are they going to practice this week during the final week of the offseason program? Have they shown enough progress, you know, over the course of the last month or so that the team has been practicing, but they haven't taken part? We're talking about players like Clay Matthews, like Nick Perry, like Jonathan Franklin, there's so much question about all these guys because the Packers don't talk about injuries during the off-season program. And you know, I realize that, you know, it's the off-season, it's June, and there's, you know, nothing really, you know, pressing at this point that they're not participating. It's a different story if it's August, if it's September, and they're not out there. But it's the lack of communication that just gives you pause a little bit and makes you wonder about these guys. And I, granted, Clay Matthews has kind of talked about his thumb a little bit, and, you know, how he's, you know, broke it twice last season. And I'm less concerned about Clay Matthews, I guess, just because
you know, it's a thumb. And I realized that, you know, that I think there was some concern at the time where, hey, you break it twice and, you know, are you causing permanent damage there? But still, it is just a thumb. And, you know, I think it's something you can play with, you can play through. I mean, obviously you want the thing 100% healed, but I'm less concerned about Clay Matthews than I am some of the other guys mentioned before. Nick Perry, here's a guy who, heck, he had the broken heel, I think it was last year, and kind of complicated by an ankle injury on top of it. But Nick Perry, heck, he played in the last five games of the year last year. I mean, if he could play in a football game, why can't he at least practice in a non-contact, non-padded environment? That's what's got me a little bit, you know. I mean, if you're not really, you know, there's no tackling involved in OTAs or minicamp. I mean, can't he participate in, you know, even the portions in which there's, you know, zero, you know, contact whatsoever? I mean, I realize, you know, they might not tackle during the off season, but they still, you know, they engage in blocking and whatever. But I mean, there's things to be done that don't involve, you know, contact whatsoever in the off season program. And from what I understand, Nick Perry hasn't taken part at all. I just wish that he would. You know, there would be some sort of sign of progress that he would, you know, jump back into it here. And, you know, I'm hoping he'll take part in minicamp. I'm not holding my breath by any means, considering he sat out the past month or so already. I guess I don't see why there'd be any change, but I'm holding out hope. I'm holding out hope that all of a sudden, he's out on the field tomorrow, and that would certainly make me feel better about a former first-round draft choice of the Green Bay Packers, somebody that, you know, they would hope would take some pressure off Clay Matthews and now throw Julius Peppers into the mix as well. I really think Nick Perry's, if he can stay healthy, which is a big if, but if he can stay healthy, I think he's on the verge of doing some good things. I saw flashes last year, and hey, he was doing it with the broken heel, with ankle issues. I just wish he can put them in the past, in the rearview mirror, get beyond them. Who else have we had who hasn't practiced yet this offseason? Jonathan Franklin, the running back. We've talked about him on past issues of Railbird Central. His season was ended last year by a neck injury slash concussion. Kind of got injured both his head and his neck on one play late last season. Was put on IR late in the year. We're talking like November, December. So, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of season left. But, again, I mean, the whole thing here with there's been no discussion of his injury. I mean, it's just you got to be so sensitive with neck injuries in the spinal column that you wonder, I mean, is there something more at play here? I mean, is Jonathan Franklin in the same category as JerMichael Finley? I mean, obviously, we know that, you know, Jonathan Franklin wasn't lying motionless on the ground for a while like JerMichael Finley was. But still, I mean, spinal injuries, you don't take lightly. And is there something more at play here? And again, I mean, I can only speculate. I mean, I have no clue, but it's not helping that nobody even comments on the situation for months at a time. You know, if Franklin himself or his representatives would be, you know, willing to give an update, it would certainly be appreciated rather than just saying silent on the whole thing. You know, even if they just say, hey, you know, that we're taking it easy until, you know, training camp starts, you know, just let people know that that's the time frame you're looking at before taking this more seriously, I think would put people a little bit at ease, if nothing else. So those are a few of the guys who have stayed out of the off-season program in its entirely. I see here Alan Murphy on the live blog saying, "What's up with Johnny Jolly?" It's basically a status quo on Johnny Jolly. He's not part of the Packers roster right now. He's technically a free agent, very much in the same boat as Jermichael Finley. Both of them free agents, both of them coming off neck injuries. It would seem to be that Johnny Jolly's is less serious than Jermichael Finley. Just simply from the fact you saw everybody held their breath when Jermichael Finley went down last year and was lying motionless on the field. It didn't happen for Johnny Jolly, thank God. But still a neck injury, still placed on injured reserve last year, so he ended up his season not even being able to play toward the end. Johnny Jolly, here he is, 31 years old, so he's no longer on the sunny side of 30. I've been thinking all along, maybe the Packers signed Johnny Jolly before the start of training camp or sometime during training camp and put him on that PUP list. They know about him, enough where, hey, it wasn't a big thing where Johnny Jolly missed the off-season program. It's not the biggest deal in the world that he missed the months of April, May, and June being at team headquarters, because they know what they've gotten him. And he showed, he kind of put his past behind him with the drugs and whatever. And if he's still able to play, well, hey, they can sign him in July, August and still be fine. I've said all along, I think it's perhaps a likely scenario if he comes back, if they place Johnny Jolly on the PUP list and he's out for the first month or two of the season and all of a sudden some injuries come along and all of a sudden he's back on the roster by mid-season, talking October, November. And then Johnny Jolly's part of the team again. I think that would be a good use of the PUP list and a way to kind of keep a little bit more depth on the team than might be meets the eye, I suppose you could say. So it's hard to say what the approach the Packers are taking to Jolly and Finley. Can only speculate at this point. They're not, commenting on, the futures of either of them, other than Mike McCarthy saying that they're not closing the door on Finley or Jolly. We just don't know. Nobody can say with certainty at this point. That's all we can say right now. Unless the Packers come out and say we're not signing them. That's all we can go on for the time being. As it stands, like I said here, we're at a Monday. We're on the eve of training camp, the only mandatory portion of the off-season program. Wrote an article on Cheesehead TV just yesterday talking about mandatory versus voluntary. The only 3 days of the year where every player has to be in Green Bay. But it's not really much of a difference from OTAs because even though they were voluntary, the Packers were getting 100% participation, or I should say 100% attendance, as it was. So mandatory minicamp is really going to be no different than voluntary OTAs. The players have all been there to begin with. Maybe some have been injured, so they haven't been really practicing, but they're there. Even though Clay Matthews hasn't practiced, he's there. He's rehabbing. Andrew Corliss is there. He's rehabbing. Nick Perry, Jonathan Franklin. At least all these guys are there. They're doing the mental work, if nothing else. They're learning the new schemes, the installs, the new offense and defenses that the Packers are planning to use in 2014. So that's great, especially when you compare it to, you hear this news coming out of Seattle. Marshawn Lynch, running back, talking about holding out a mini camp. He's been holding out of the Seahawks offseason program during the voluntary portion. Doesn't even plan on being there for the mandatory portion. And subject to fine then if a player does that. If any of the Packers players were to do that, they'd be subject to fine. But doesn't appear as if that would be the case. But so that's what we're looking forward to this week. Mini camp. We'll see what stories emerge from 1265 Lombardi Avenue starting tomorrow. Like I say, if you're within driving distance of Green Bay, starts at 11:30 a.m. Central Time, local time tomorrow, Ray Nitschke Field. Excited to see what happens there, and we'll discuss it all on the next episode of Railbird Central. We are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. So until then, we'll see you later. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you, folks. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. I leave you today with a song called The Surf by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.